Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you guys are here. You guys are spirited today. A lot of love in this little room today. Thank God you guys are awesome. You guys are awesome, awesome, awesome. Oh, man, I love the collision course that we're on. I really do. I really, really do. I love the course that we are on. I've preached to hundreds at big youth conferences in Texas. I've preached to a bunch of teenagers, bussing them in here. And we're probably preaching at 2025 tonight, maybe. God, but it's like I'm preaching in an arena of a million right now, because I got people that comprehend the vision of Jesus Christ. That means more to me than anything, than any offering I could ever receive. Knowing that I can preach freely truth to those that believe like I believe. They know that there's more to the kingdom of God than words. That means everything to me. One thing you'll learn about what we preach, and I don't want to single out what we preach, because I believe with all my heart that what is taught here is the apostles' doctrine. I believe that with all my heart. But you'll have a little hard time with what we say if you do not give yourself over to the Holy Spirit. You're going to have a real hard time if you do not give yourself over to your prayer language. Now, does that qualify you to go to heaven? No. The being born again is all you need to go to heaven. But I know this prayer language has caused me not to care about myself. This prayer language, along with meditation of God's word, assimilating God's word, has brought me to a place gradually, not fast enough, but where you don't care about your life anymore. You don't care about it. Fear seems to leave you. The fear of death, the fear of anything leaves you. There's a confidence that grows inside of you. And I'm just touching it. I'm just touching it now. I'm being perfected every day as you are with me together. But there is a place where there's just no fear. There's a place where there's just no fear. Even in darkness in the natural for a while, there's just a joy in me. Because happiness is internal. It's internal. And I'm happy. See? Glory. Amen? So we're going to do so. I'm going to say some words that we hardly ever say here. I'm going to pass in review. Yeah, everybody gets that one. Yeah. Passing in review. Now, I don't have the big words like Pastor Brock. I can barely talk English. So, but we're going to pass in review a little bit. I thought I was going to touch on James, but Ms. Gay stole the show about James this morning a little while ago. She quoted a lot of James. But there's still some in James. There's some stuff in James, really, that will blow your mind when it comes out. It's just like Gary says, it's just not quite ready to come out yet. And I've had to talk to several of the elders in my life about it, and it's new to them. And some of them are chewing on it, and it's very new. It's not what we thought it meant, that's for sure. But we'll talk about that later. But we're going to pass a review a little bit, on Sunday mornings, teaching or preaching, whatever you want to call it. We talked about freedom in Christ, which, to be honest with you, I mean this in a very, what word can I use? Y'all don't get that, do you? I mean this in a, man, what word am I looking for? In a very sincere way, not in a manner that, a judgmental manner at all, but the majority of the body of Christ, they have not a clue of the freedom that lives in them. We still think that we are sinners saved by grace. Only one problem with that. You can't keep that thought in contact and back it up biblically. You cannot. Well, Brother Homer, it says here that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, under law, when that happened. We're not under law anymore. We've been born again, sanctified by the Spirit of God. We're not wretched men and women anymore. the Spirit of God lives inside of me and you. All have fallen short of God's glory before. Mankind has fallen short of God. But then Jesus came on the scene and quickened our spirit. We've gone from death unto life. If you still believe you're a sinner saved by grace, I guarantee you there's wiggle room or gray areas in your life. I guarantee, because if you still think you're a sinner saved by grace, then you're going to give yourself room for purpose error. You will give yourself room. Well, God, the things I do not want to do. The things I don't want to do, that I do. No, 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 no. That's not referencing that. If that's the case, then I'm going to leave my wife for a weekend, go find me a girly girl for a weekend, and go get drunk, and go gamble, go do this and that, because Paul understands my weakness. No, that's not what it means. That's, no, well, honey, Miss Rosie, now, you know the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, that I do. You got to be a submissive wife. You got to submit. Paul said it, sweetheart. Paul said it. And we know that the Holy Ghost is the one that gave the dictation. And Paul just documented what the Holy Ghost wrote. Now, Paul said, no, God, no. That's a gray area to the 10th power, man. Ooh, it's dark gray. No, it doesn't mean that. No, it doesn't mean that. Remember that we said, and now those of you that hear, and I've heard some compliments from Pastor Brown, people in other nations actually hearing what I have to say, go figure that. But remember we said in Romans 7 that Paul recorded, he said, now the law is what? Holy. And the commandment, holy, just, and good. Paul said the law is holy, but the commandment, holy, just, and good. What was good? The law was holy. The commandment, holy, just, and good. What was good? The commandment was? What was good? Y'all got me all confused now. The commandment was good. So, the law is holy. The commandment, holy, just, and good. What's good? And the commandment is? Now, you know for a season that I can't tell you what verse that's in. I could probably quote 6, 7, and 8 to you, but I can't tell you what it's in Romans chapter 7 somewhere. Trust me, it's there for a season, for a short season. My sight is limited for a little bit, but before you know it, 2020, I won't even have no 1.5s on. Just seeing clear as can be. Watch, I'm telling you. They won't be denying the power of God. There's no denying it now. It is what it is. It's the power and glory is his. It doesn't need me to validate it. It's true anyway. Whether it's validated through me or not, it's true. God's word is true. It doesn't need my vote. Period. It's true. So you concluded with me that the commandment, law is holy, the commandment, holy, just, and good. It's what the word of God says right in Romans 7. Now, the apostles' doctrine, the epistles, they didn't supersede Jesus' teachings. They derived from the gospels of Jesus Christ. They parallel each other. You got to know that. And if Paul said the commandment was holy, just, and good, do you think maybe there's a slight possibility that Jesus might have used the same terminology? Think about it. Do you think that it might be a trick question? It might not be a trick question. Do you think that Jesus, somewhere in his teachings in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, referenced the same terminology? And can you prove it? Okay, it's silent in here. Do you think that Paul might have used, or do you think that Jesus might have used the same terminology that Paul did, maybe somewhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? I do. I do, and I know, and I've seen, and I've heard, and I'm going to share it with you. The commandment, which is good, When Jesus walked this earth, there was only one man with a lit candle. One man that was born again. Even the 11 were not born again until after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think it's John 20 or 21 when he breathed life into them. Paul said, the law is holy, the commandment holy, just, and good. You concluded with me that the commandment is good, and what's good is the commandment. Nothing else in this walk with God matters but how much me and you love. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. If you take Luke 10 a little bit, let me take a little journey here. In Luke 10, the modern day church, especially, and not so much, I don't want to say here, but we hear some of the soundest doctrine that you can ever hear. Because the men that lock up in their prayer car, they do it for hours. They're not on the golf course. They're not here and there. They're not begging for money. They're just men that don't care about themselves, and they lock up and they just meditate. Some of them quit jobs 6, 7, 8 hours a day, just plowing, just to grow in grace and to believe God for a tremendous outpouring of his kingdom. They don't ask for money. They're awesome men, awesome men. From Pastor Bronk to the big dog, Pastor Dave, to Gary Carpenter, Barry, Jim Martin, Alan Taylor, Tim Stemple, and a 30-year-old young man that's, I consider him an elder of mine, named Nathan Varble. Young man just like me and Nathan, just like me, very young. But you hear these men, you hear them, and you just love them because they love Jesus. And some of the stuff that they come up with is just mind-boggling. And if we don't watch it, we can think, because some of the stuff they say has been locked up for years, mysteries that have not been understood for years. And I talked to Nathan a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, and he said, Homer, I want you to hear this teaching. And surely I heard it, because we had a conversation about Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and just it blows my mind how much we cross-referenced into each other, just to a T almost exactly preach the same thing. But sometimes we got to be real careful, because we think that just because we can quote what they say that we understand it. We think just because we can say sin has no dominion over you, we think that we believe it just because we quote it. But I know a group of men that quoted and articulated to a T in the Bible. I think it's Luke 10. And I'm just going to touch a little bit of it, and then we're going to go on to the commandment being good. Listen carefully. Now, there's nothing wrong with, I confess God's word, and Miss Gay's confession were powerful. I confess God's word a lot, especially the prophecy that Pastor Bronk gave me a week or two ago. So I'm confessing it now more than I ever have. And I'll confess it to the day that I die. It's part of our artillery. But we have to be so careful that just because we remember a good sermon, that we believe that good sermon. That's why it's so vital that we dig into scriptures for ourselves. My granddaughter, Jalen, the nappy-headed one, she started saying her eight. She says them all the time. She loves the ABC song. She's getting them right. You know why she's getting the ABCs right? She goes over that song all the time. She didn't hear her grandpa say it twice and then thought that she could rehearse the whole ABCs. She's probably gone through them hundreds of times, and she's got them now. Why? Because she went through her ABCs over and over and over again. So just because you hear a message twice and you're able to quote something from it doesn't mean you're walking in it at all. Quite the contrary. Be careful when you're content with quoting a good message. Be very careful. Jesus told in the parable of the Good Samaritan, a lawyer, I think it's Luke 10, towards the end of Luke 10, I believe, where the lawyer stood up and said, And the Bible says he stood up and he was tempting Jesus. He said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He, a lawyer, basically a hypocrite. He said, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what saith the law? How readest thou? He said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, what saith the law, Mr. Lawyer? How do you read the law? The lawyer replied correctly. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, Jesus told a hypocrite this. He said, thou hast answered right. Did you get that? You've answered right. But then he said, this do, and thou shalt live. Be careful if you think your righteousness is a correct, proper answer while you're living in darkness. That, my friends, is extremely dangerous. Thou hast answered right, Jesus said. But this do. Do according to the right answer, and you shall live. Be careful if we think the way we articulate or our presentation is enough. No, 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 no. If you read the Gospels, I don't quite see Jesus using these magnificent, magnified, huge words that I got to ask Siri what they mean all the time. Think about it. He didn't use great, big, persuasive words, but he used the word love quite a bit. That's pretty simple. So that's what we endeavored to do. He said, you've answered right, but this do, and thou shalt live. Now, there's some awesome, awesome revelation knowledge that I've received from the Holy Ghost about the Good Samaritan, and that's coming in due season. But I just got to make sure I got it all. Because I'm a teacher of God's word, and I'll be judged severely on the day of judgment if I mislead you. I'm not going to mislead you. So the commandment is holy, just, and good. Amen. One thing about Jesus, when he taught me and you, he taught kingdom principles. He taught the kingdom of God. Jesus did not teach law. Jesus taught kingdom principles. That's what he taught. He did not teach law. Christ was the fulfillment of the law. He taught kingdom principles. He taught us about the flesh. Now, I'm going to sit down on this one here. I'm going to sit down real quick. With all due respect, I'm going to mention the word flesh today. No sarcasm. I'm going to mention the word flesh. Now, the flesh, all it knows to do is to indict me and you. It spits out indictment after indictment. It indicts me, and it wants me to indict you. There was nothing good about the flesh before the rebirth, and there ain't nothing good about the flesh after the rebirth. It has to be dealt with. It has to be dealt with. You might not want to talk about it, but it doesn't mean that old nasty things are going away. That's what's wrong with the modern day church. If we feel good, then we're going to do good. We put too much stock into emotion. Because if you feel good and your relationship with God is based on feeling, you're only going to do good when you feel good. But when you feel bad, you ain't going to do the good that you're supposed to do, because you're basing your walk on sheer emotion. I'm learning every day that just because I don't feel good does not mean that I'm not doing good. I'm learning that every single day. That I can have an emotional day, but what I feel, the indictment that I feel from my flesh, I know it's just that. It's an indictment from the part of me that I am to daily crucify. by living a spirit-led life. What's the Bible say in the book of Romans? You got to know that what Jesus did, he did it in his humanity. When he walked on the water, he did it in his humanity. When he turned the water into wine, he did it in humanity. When he raised the dead, he did it in humanity. Everything he did it in humanity, but he was always deity. Listen to this. I'm going to quote a little bit of Romans for you. I'm going to prove to you through the scripture, not through me, through the scripture, that Jesus fulfilled the will of heaven. The power and the glory of heaven was manifested in the life of Jesus Christ in the flesh. If he did it wearing a sinful flesh, guess who else can do it? Because we wear a sinful flesh. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, by sending Jesus Christ in the likeness of what? In the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Is that enough, Miss Gay, right there? That lets me know that I can walk into God as much as I want, even wearing sinful flesh. And you think that we don't have to deal with the flesh? The day that you think you don't have to deal with the flesh is the day that you completely disannul the power of the cross. Because that cross is what we're to carry every single day of our life. But we overcome it by living a life in the Spirit, feeding that nature of God, the Word of God, transforming our thought process with His Word. Christ Jesus, all that he wore a sinful flesh. He wore it. You are not a sinner saved by grace. Grace came and changed you into a righteous creature. You've been born again internally. Your life, your spirit has been quickened. The life of God lives inside of you. We live out of our spirit, not out of the flesh. The flesh is what we nail on the cross habitually every single day. The flesh indicts. It brings up our weakness. It brings up your weakness to me. One thing that I do when it indicts, I tell it to shut up and I don't repeat what it says about you or about myself. The flesh wants to remind me that I can't see, but I got to remind the flesh that it's not my daddy. I've got to remind the flesh that Jesus took my infirmity and that he bore my sickness. Take that, you indicter. It indicts. It brings accusations against me, and it wants me to see your weakness and vice versa. So what do? I try my best not to repeat its narrative. I try to kick it to the curb. It has to be irrelevant to me and to you. Completely irrelevant. Nailed to the cross. Completely irrelevant. The flesh wants me to lie. Ooh, only me. I've been thinking about this for a long time. If you lie, no, Father, if we lie and we count it a little lie. I was thinking about this random thought in there the other day, because when you're by yourself, you know, walls don't talk. And Marty came knocking at the door today. I said, hey, come on in, Marty. You want to talk? You got to go. You want to talk to him, Marty? No, I got to leave. Marty, man. Because the walls don't talk back to me. I'm tired of hearing that same guy utter the Bible to him in my CD. His voice makes me sick. I want to hear something new. Where was I at? A lie, yes. If you lie about something little, and you seem to think, well, I'm going to lie, it doesn't matter what you're saying, is I'm going to lie about something little because there seems to be no repercussion. If you lie about something little, you're going to lie about something big when there is repercussion. If you lie about, well, like, hey, man, I tried to get a hold of you. I didn't get your text. I didn't say I texted you. Hey, I tried to get a hold of you. I didn't get your voicemail. I didn't say I left you a voicemail. I didn't get your call. Okay. Little lie. Seem insignificant. Only one problem. Our Father in heaven, He seeth in secret. I would appreciate more, and I've done it the last year or two. I've told my wife, I've gotten so much better because oh my God, I didn't get your text. It was a lie, Homer. It was a lie. Tell him I ain't home. Tell him I ain't home. Tell him I ain't home. We got to clean our act up. Because if we lie about something small where there seems to be no repercussion, we will lie about something big when there is a repercussion to save ourselves. Revival comes to holy people. And I judge myself. Because for the last year or two, He's dealt with me tremendously on that. What if by chance you tried to get a hold of me? You were on the verge of suicide, and me and my prideful self thought you were insignificant to me. I'd probably feel like trash afterwards. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, do it, man. Do it. Your word has to mean everything. I didn't get your call. If that's your answer, then you didn't get my call. You might lie to me, but our Father in heaven, He seeth in secret. There's nothing wrong with saying this. I got your call, but I just didn't feel like talking. That's still honesty. Don't lie. Because if you lie about something small where there seems to be no repercussion, you will lie about something big when there is repercussion. The last 2 years, He has really dealt with me tremendously about that. There's an unction inside of us, and what spits forth out of our spirit is nothing but truth. Nothing but truth. Amen. The commandment is holy, just, and good. And I thought to myself, I went back to Luke 6. I've been in Luke 6. I cannot tell you how many times I've gone through Luke 6 in the last month. Hundreds and hundreds of times. Not to teach it, but I wanted to get taught it. I knew there was something there that my father, that father was trying to get over to me. I don't like Homer very much. He gets on my nerves. So I allow the Father's thoughts to transform my thought process, because if there's anybody I want to be like, and that's like my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is my hero. And Jesus taught what He lived. He didn't teach to receive exaltation of men. He taught what He lived. And what He lived, He taught. How He lived is what He taught. And what He taught is how He wants me and you to live. And as we live what He taught, then we, out of living, are able to teach somebody else but by what we live by. Words mean nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing without substance. We got to grasp that. We got to grasp it. That much speaking is vanity without substance. Complete vanity. Complete vanity without substance. The commandment's holy, just, and good. It's holy, just, and good. I've been reading where it says, judge not lest ye be judged, condemn not lest ye be condemned, forgive so you'll be forgiven. Given it should be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give unto you, brother, with the same measure you meet, shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. Wow. And I was thinking, judge not, condemn not, forgive. And then he says, basically, don't be blind. Okay. I know through one of the best teachers in the world, the man whose teaching saved my life. I had so much junk in my life. Had I not heard what this man taught, I would have walked away. Me and my ebony queen would have been divorced. But when I heard what this man named Pastor Dave Roberson taught me, it changed my life. It changed it forever. When I heard this man, I was in awe, not of his words, but of the love that he walked in. I said, I got to be like him. And I began to hear his teachings, and I began to do what he said to do. I began to pray in the spirit for hours. I began to find a book like 1 John. And I used to begin to camp in it nights and days and reading it and growing and growing in God. And I began to see a shift inside of me. I began to see more peace. I began to see and know that I didn't have to do certain things that I used to do before I heard his teachings. I was completely saturated with his teachings. Completely. And in this walk with God that me and you are so privileged to walk with, we have to walk in the love of God. Miracles, Simon Peter's mother-in-law being healed, the centurion's servant, the damsel that was dead, blind Bartimaeus, Lazarus, come forth. The woman from the city of Nain lost her son. Can you imagine? Her son's in a coffin. In a coffin, dead. And Jesus, in his humanity, wrapped in sinful flesh, in his humanity, weep not. Young man, I say unto you, arise. That's what we're after. But that does not come without me and you abiding in that law of liberty. Without me and you walking in love. Jesus said in Luke 6, and if I'm off a little bit, give me a little bit of grace on what I'm going to quote. The words, judge not lest ye be judged, condemn not lest ye be condemned, forgive so you'll be forgiven. And then the words when he said, if you note your brother's mote, then you're blind. I said to myself, I know there's more to it than what I've heard. Now, what were the Pharisees? What was their problem? They would see the dead raised, but they would not what? They would see it, but they wouldn't see it. They would see it. Can you imagine somebody being raised in front of you from the dead? Jesus just raised somebody from the dead on the Sabbath. That's how hard they were in their heart. They could see, but they couldn't see, right? Qualify them to be what? If you can see, but you can't see, then you're what? Blind. Whoa, slow down. Now, if they could see but couldn't see, then they could hear but couldn't hear. He must be from Nebraska. Cornhusker. So they could see but couldn't see. They could hear but they couldn't hear. So if they couldn't hear the message, would they see the miracles that sprung forth from the message of the kingdom? No. That would qualify them to be blind. Because seeing, they could see, and hearing, they never heard. So what caused the blindness in their eyes? The fact that they did not what? Hear the message of the kingdom. They saw but couldn't see and heard but didn't hear. You see where I'm going with this? They saw the dead raised, man. Raised. And yet disannulled Jesus as the Christ. Why? Because they didn't believe he was the Christ. Because they didn't believe his message. And if they didn't believe his message, they didn't believe the word of God. Because God sent Jesus into the world to demonstrate the kingdom of God. So people could hear it and see it. Hear and see. The Pharisees saw but couldn't see. They heard but couldn't hear. Jesus said, now we're going to figure out why he said that a disciple could be blind. How a disciple could note somebody's mote and themselves be blind. You established with me that the Pharisees saw but couldn't see. You established with me that they heard but didn't hear. Now Luke 6 and Matthew 5, 6, 7 were written to disciples. Written to, can you agree with me on that? They were written to disciples. Jesus said, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Here's our word. Do good to them which hate you. Luke 6, it isn't what we think. Luke 6 is making reference to enemies. I think it's Luke 6, maybe somewhere in there where he says, but I say unto you, you're going to be persecuted, separated, reproached for my name's sake. They're going to call you evil for my name's sake. The whole thrust of Luke 6 is people that are persecuting me and you because of our faith. Trust me, that day is coming like never before. I grew up a Baptist and I used to love, oh, we're going to be raptured. We're going to be raptured. One very important thing they forgot to mention is the book of Revelation. And I pray to God that I'm wrong on this part of my doctrine. I pray to God that I'm wrong. I pray to God that there is a calling up in the air like Thessalonians says. But my God, the more I grow in Christ, the more I behold the scriptures. I believe we're going to suffer some heat. I'm game. Are you game? We concluded that the word good was a commandment, and the commandment was good. But Jesus said, but I say unto you which hear. He said, I say unto you that hear and quote the word. There was an action behind those that heard that should be fulfilled by those that heard the word. But I say unto you that hear, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Now, I'm not even going to get to the point that I want to get to. If I got to stay there, then I'll stay there. There is a love inside of me, a desire for the Muslim like I can't comprehend where this love come from. Americans are so terrified of them. Rightly so, to an extent. They dislike us. They're antichrist. But I say unto you, it's here. Love ye your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Romans said, the law is holy, the commandment, holy, just, and good. Good is a commandment, and the commandment is good. Yet Jesus said in Luke 6, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. If I'm held captive somewhere in the world by a Muslim or by radical extremists, and I get put in jail, help me with this. What good could I possibly do to those that despise me because of my faith in Christ? I couldn't bake them a cake in prison. I would be mistreated, mocked at, spit upon, and will tell them what else they would want to do to me. What good could I do in that jail cell? What could I possibly do in that jail cell that would fulfill the words of Jesus Christ? There's nothing physical that I could do. I can't bake them a cake. But I say unto you, it's here, Family Prayer Center, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. If I'm in prison, there's nothing I can do in the natural that would make you like me, Mr. Radical Extremist. The only good that I could do to them is to hold on to my confession and to live my life out of my spirit. That's what he says, do good to them which hate you. Look, when people despise you, they despise you. We hold on to our testimony. We don't retaliate. If they're ugly to us, we endure it. That is the good that he wants us to do. Abide in the Ten Commandments that live inside of me and you. But I say unto you, which hear. But I say unto you, which hear. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. But I say unto you, which hear. Now, how do you know that you heard the message? How do you know that what you heard affected you? When you do good to them which hate you. The doing good is abiding in the commandment that lives inside of me and you. That's the good. When I know I'm facing execution in 3 days, I won't shut up about Jesus. I won't shut up. But I say unto you which hear, those in the Family Prayer Center that are born again, I say unto you which hear. Now comes an action word. Hear. I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. What he's saying, live your life out of your spirit. Keep the commandments that are written in your hearts and in your mind. Keep them no matter what. You don't have the permission to deviate from the commandment that's inside of your spirit. But I say unto you which hear. But I say unto you which hear. What if I hear and I disannul the love that he asked me to walk in? You concluded with me that the Pharisees saw but couldn't see. You concluded with me that they heard but didn't hear. Can a Christian be like a Pharisee? Answer the question. Yes, we can. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Yes, we can act like one. Absolutely, we can. He said, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you and pray for those which despitefully use you. What if I hear that? What if I hear it? What if I know to do the good that's in me? I know that the commandments are in me. I know I'm born again. I've been instructed by Jesus on the mount. I'm instructed out of the nature of God within me to walk in his love. What if I hear and what if I disannul it habitually? Then what am I? The Pharisees saw but couldn't see. They heard but didn't hear. And what's one thing that the Pharisees always did? Judged. They always judged. Self-righteous, but they always found fault in somebody else, and they always wanted to expose somebody else's sin. Always. There's nothing wrong. See, this is when you know when you're qualified and when you're not qualified to judge a situation. When someone has darkness in their life and you despise the darkness, that's good. When you despise the one that has the darkness, that's judgment. It's okay to despise the darkness in the one. When you despise the one that's walking in darkness, you're not qualified to be a disciple. When you can't wait to reprimand, when you can't wait to rebuke, you're not qualified to be a disciple. And I thought to myself, a little bit lower down on Luke 6, he says, now do good and lend. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward, listen to this, now listen carefully. A little bit farther down in Luke 6, he said, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be called the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father is perfect. Listen to this now. I'm almost done, believe it or not. Listen to this. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Here he's telling me to act a certain way. He said, hear and do. And if you hear and do, listen to what he said. Listen to what we receive for hearing and doing. He said, but I say unto you, do good to them, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be called the children of the highest. That's enough to convince me. He said, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Listen to what he said. If you fulfill the commandment in the midst of this world, if you do good and lend, hope for nothing again in return, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be called the children of the highest. Does that look like righteousness to you? Think about it. Does it look like somebody's walking and living in the will of God by what Jesus said in Luke 6? But do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be called the children of the highest. Isn't that what we strive for? Amen? Stay with me now. I'm almost there. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be called the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore perfect or mature as your Father is mature or perfect. One more time. Do good and lend. Keep the commandment, Christina Harding. Keep it, Homer. No matter what, keep it, boy. If you face death, keep it, boy. Keep it. Love, 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 love. Love is an action word. Do good, family person, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be called the children of the highest. Listen carefully. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore perfect as your Father is perfect. Then immediately, he seems to change the subject on me. Immediately, he says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. You just told me a couple of verses ago that my reward was going to be great. and that would be called a children of God. Why are you telling me none now that not to judge? You just told me that if I did good and I lended and I wanted nothing to get in return, that I would have a great reward and that I would be a child of the highest. You just told me that. Are you double-minded? Jesus? You just told me that when I uttered my last breath and when I beheld your glory, that something was going to be waiting for me on the other side, maybe even here on heaven, here on earth. You just told me that. He said, be thankful. You just told me, do good and lend, hope for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father is perfect. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Condemn not, lest ye be condemned. Forgive, you should be forgiven. Okay. If I'm doing good and I'm lending, I'm going to get a great reward in heaven. I'm going to be called a child of God. That sounds good to me. Enough for me. Take me home. Then all of a sudden, big bad Jesus says, judge not, lest you be judged. Condemn not, lest you be condemned. Forgive, so that you'll be forgiven. Before he said all that, he said, but I say unto you, which hear. Now the Pharisees saw, but couldn't what? They heard, but didn't. But now Jesus is talking to disciples now. To disciples. I say unto you, which hear. Here is the evidence that we heard what he instructed. I say unto you, do good. I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Do good to them which hate you. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for those which despitefully use you. There's action behind the hearing. But I say unto you, which hear, this is how you live. This is your lifestyle. Your candle will be lit. You'll be born again after I ascend. This is my instruction to you, which hear. And if you hear, and if you do, you're going to receive a great reward. And you shall be called the children of the highest. Jesus said, because your Father is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father is perfect. Judge not, lest ye be judged. How can I be on the verge of this awesome instruction from the Lamb of God saying, if you walk in this love, if you keep the internal, eternal word of life inside of your spirit, I'm telling you, there'll be a day where there's going to be a great reward, whether on this side of glory, on the other side, but it's coming. Then all of a sudden he says, judge not lest ye be judged, condemn not lest ye be condemned, forgive so that you'll be forgiven. I say unto you which hear, if I do the will of the kingdom, I can't do what I don't hear. But if I do what I hear, and that's what Christ is after. As born-again believers, this judgment and this condemnation that we're not to judge with or condemn with or this unforgiveness is a lot broader to me now. A lot broader to me. The Pharisees saw but couldn't see. They heard but didn't hear. Then he says to Christians, but I say unto you which hear. And then after that he said, can the blind lead the blind? Well, what qualifies a disciple to be blind? What qualifies a disciple to be blind when he notes somebody else's mote? I tell you what. You heard. But you didn't do. And when you heard and didn't do, you disannulled the law of liberty. You disannulled royal law. And when the moment you disannulled royal law, you went against the inner witness, guess what you did? Judge not, lest ye be judged. The moment you held a grudge against somebody, you disannulled the love of God. You instantaneously judged, condemned, and you did not forgive. Because you heard, you knew what was right, and you completely disannulled it. You, my friend, are in a spiritual prison, acting just like an unregenerate person. See, it's easy to do good to someone that does good to you. The world can do that. An unbeliever can do good to someone that does good to him. An unbeliever, unregenerate, can love somebody that loves them. They can do that. They could do that under the Mosaic law. The law taught us that. When we love somebody just because they're doing good to us, you did nothing that an unbeliever can't do. You did nothing that an unregenerate, you did something that a Satanist could do. Do good to someone that does good to them. But let that person cross the Satanist. See, when they cross us, our love should never deviate. It should never drop off. It's the same. If we don't do what we hear, we judge. We condemn, we don't forgive, and we're qualified as being blind. Completely blind, and we habitually nullify the inner witness. But I say unto you, it's here. There's a corresponding action behind the hearing. You got to do the kingdom principles. If not, you're not qualified to be a disciple. Living in habitual disobedience. And then you want to act like you can help somebody. Oh, you're blind. You're judging, condemning, and not forgiving. It's so vital that we watch what we say. Even when the feeling rises up and it wants to overwhelm our thought process, we don't have the right to say it. You're agreeing with an indictment against you. And against your brother and your sister, you're adding fuel to the fire. You're adding spiritual steroids to your flesh, man. But I say unto you, what's here, do what you hear. And when you do what you hear, you're not judging. And when we do what we hear, we're not condemning. When we do what we hear, we're forgiving. And when we do what we hear, then we can help somebody take the mote out of their eye. It's only when me and you live a crucified life, we follow the perfect prototype, and his name is Jesus Christ. We got to conclude. We got to conclude that our life in him is based on love. But I say unto you, it's here. Love ye your enemies. Love ye your and those that want to kill you because of what you stand for. Those that call you evil for doing good. Those are the ones that are unregenerate. They need somebody to display the love of. We can't even get along in here. Jesus is referencing enemies. If you keep it in context, he's referencing enemies of us that want us dead because of our faith. He's not talking about Carl walking by me in church and not saying hi to me. That's not even a significance. That's not even an issue. Those that want you dead to your faith, someone has to have a shining light in their life so that they can see Jesus in them. I say unto you, which here, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Who hates you? Our enemies. What's the good that we're to do? The commandment. Always keeping it. Never deviating from the truth. Never. Well, I'm going to do it and I'll be forgiven. If you did it because you thought you were going to be forgiven, I don't know if you're forgiven or not. If you did it just, first John, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this and that. I'll be forgiven. Be careful. Be real careful. God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart. You did it. Because you knew you'd be forgiven. There's something to that. I can't come out with it completely. There's something more the Lord's teaching me about that. Well, I did it, but I'll be forgiven. Okay. There's ramifications, my friend. There's ramifications for that. But I'll be forgiven. Yeah, maybe so. But the ramifications. Oh, there is. Walking in love hurts sometimes because you feel like a coward sometimes because you want to say it. Oh, you want to say it. You want to defend yourself so much. We feel we have that right. See? We feel we have that right. I'm a man. I got to defend myself. No. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. Let his righteousness defend you. But I say unto you, which hear, Family Prayer Center, love ye your enemies. Those that hate you and despitefully, they want to kill you and persecute you and cast out your name as evil and reproach you and separate you from their company. Those that call you evil because you keep the commandments of God, let your light shine in their midst. If you think you're the victim, you're in error. You're the victor. They're the ones that need Jesus. If you can't see that, then we're blind because we're full of judgment and condemnation and not forgiving, and we can do nothing for the kingdom. Nothing for the kingdom. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Somebody in ignorance will say, well, a lot of Haitians got killed in the hurricane because they gave their soul to the devil. You fools. You fools. You fools. Fools for thinking such nonsense. Christians in California talking about those who were killed in Orlando. Well, God killed them because they were gay. If that's the case, he should have killed you for being hateful. This book has been so fragmented, man. So fragmented. Did you ever come to the conclusion, closing down? Do you ever think that those that Jesus healed, you think there might have been a homosexual in that crowd that maybe he healed? Maybe more than one? You think there might have been an adulterer or a fornicator in that, in the multitude that followed him that received their healing? Yeah. But when Jesus saw them, he saw them through the eyes of the Father. When he raised the woman's son from the dead in the city of Nain, I guarantee you his initial thought was it, why'd you die? Were you living in sin? Weep not. Young man, I say unto you, arise. When the woman with the issue of blood touched his garment, what did she touch? Love. When the woman in Luke 7 knew that he was going to be at the Pharisee's house, went into the house with an alabaster box and washed his feet with ointment. Now you can walk in all the love you want to sometimes. Some people just are not going to receive the gospel. What made her fall to her knees when this Jewish man walked into a room? What made her give him her very best? An acknowledgement of his love. Simon Peter, I'm catching the download of it. Luke 22 or 23, when he said, Lord, even if I got to die with you, I will never deny you. I'll never deny you. I think he meant it with all his heart. I think he did. Okay, here comes the baby cry again. I think he meant it with all his heart, Christine. I think he did. Caught crows. Love turns around, looks at him. Can you imagine those eyes of love? He wasn't judging. wasn't condemning, wasn't forgiving. He had no beam in his eye. Maybe. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord and wept bitterly. We cannot afford to continue to hear and not do. I can't. They were all healed because they were all loved. Homosexual, some Pharisees, Roman soldiers, evil people, they were healed by love. Jesus did what he taught. Revival, an outpouring of the kingdom. We make it a little harder than what it is. It's all about the love of God. One or two things could have happened to Simon Peter that day. Jesus could have ridiculed him, reviled him, but he said nothing. Looked at him with those eyes of love. Can you imagine that look? Can you imagine in your darkest hour when you knew you didn't want to fall, but you failed? And you think God's so mad at you, where you feel like a failure. I didn't want to do it, Lord. I messed up. I can't even look towards heaven. The same look and the mercy and compassion he had for Simon Peter, my friend, he's beholding you in the same manner. He that said, hear, heard God and fulfilled the words of God here on earth. When we do what we hear, we do not judge. When we do what we hear, we do not condemn. When we do what we hear, we walk in forgiveness. And when we do what we hear, we're not blind. But if we see somebody with darkness, we despise the darkness, and we can help them get that mote out of their eye because we walk in love. If we walk in love, we can get motes out of eyes. Zacchaeus, Jesus walked by the street. The Bible doesn't recall dialogue between them before that instance. He walked by him. Walked by him. The woman caught in adultery in John 8. Guilty as can be. Has no one condemned thee? I can see her shaking. No one, Lord. Neither do I. You see, I'm going to pay the price for your darkness. Go and sin no more. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That which is good is a commandment. And that which is good lives in us. And it's in us to be lived. And when we live it, no matter what the circumstance is, we are a shining light in a dark society. That is what he's looking for. That is what he's looking for. Will you be quiet, Homer, in adversity? How will you react, Homer, in adversity? How will you react when the doctor has a bad report? Will you speak a lie or will you speak the truth? Will you say that he took our infirmities and bore our sickness, or will you believe the indictment? your brother does wrong, will you believe the indictment that the flesh is offering up, or will you disannul it and begin to pray for your brother? But I say unto you, which hear, if you hear and you do not judge. If you hear and you do not condemn. If you hear and you forgive. If you hear and you are not blind, and you are qualified to take a mote out of somebody's eye. Only if we do what we hear, which is the kingdom principles. Therein is the outpouring that we are looking for. Therein is the outpouring. We conclude that we have no rights whatsoever. Amen. It said, blessed are the poor in spirit. For what? For theirs is the kingdom of God. Real quick, I want to tell you what that poor in spirit means with the word of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. In James 2, I'm going to tell you what that poor in spirit means. James 2. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them which love him? We gave our life to Jesus, who were poor in spirit. I thought it was a one-time ordeal, but being poor in spirit is an absolute lifestyle. A poor in spirit is rich in faith, faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we do not deviate from it. Even when we feel we have the right to deviate from it, even when that voice is barking like a 200-pound pit bull, being dogmatic, 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 put the word of God in you. Learn to distinguish your spirit from the flesh. I'm telling you, you have to know the difference. The flesh continually wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Only one thing, the spirit that's in us has the life of God in it. We win. If you hear and don't do, my friend, you judge. If you hear and do not do, we condemn. If we hear and do not do, we don't forgive. And if we hear and do not do, we are blind. Would you trust me driving a car right now? You are smart. But I believe that we all have one mind here. I believe that we will finish, or we'll die giving it our best shot. That is the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God. We don't do what we hear. We are blind, able to do nothing for the kingdom. We have no rights but to honor our Heavenly Father, which seeth in secret. You can fool me, I can fool you. You can lie to me, I can lie to you, but we're deceived when we think our Father does not take note of our lie. So we might as well just tell the truth, right? If you can't lie to God, just spill it out. Ah, I did it. But we know our authority here. We know we've been born again. We know that we have been set free from the power of darkness. We know if we sin, like Pastor Day said, if we sin, you did it. Why? Because you wanted to. No one can make us sin. Amen, Ms. Barbara? Glory. Offering buckets, please. Hallelujah. Did I get out of here by 9 o'clock? Yes. Pass it in review real quick. Hallelujah. Was it me or did you feel the glory of God when Ms. Gay began to confess the word? Glory. Glory. Let's keep, let's continue confessing God's word. I had to repent today because I sort of heard the storm was coming this way, and I said, yes. I said, you dummy, it's going somewhere else. Speak to it. Command it to dissipate. Don't ask it kindly. Command it in Jesus' name. Northeast, dissipate. No lives lost in Jesus' name. That's our confession. We're crazy. We're crazy people here. A good kind of crazy. Amen? Stand with me, please. What time is it, by any chance? Oh, yeah, beat Pastor Bronk. Glory. Father, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet and an absolute light to our path, Father. Your word is holy and undefiled, and it is absolute truth. And that is what we live by, Father, nothing else. Feelings are irrelevant to us, Father. They're non-existent to us. We live by truth, Father, by your truth alone. We thank you for this offering we're about to receive, Father. I thank you for my brothers and my sisters. That we would behold each other and love each other, Father, and respect each other and do good in this world, walking according to the law of liberty, Father, fulfilling royal law. I thank you for this offering, Father. I pray blessings upon their life in Jesus' name. And everyone said, God bless you. See you Sunday.